Candy Podcast, episode 779. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Wow. Inching closer and closer to 800.
I know. Somebody messaged us and said, you're actually getting quite close to 1,000, and it right. better be a live recording. Like
we should do
an
that.
Event.
Yeah.
It's a like, real I milestone.
Want, I want a, I want, we should do those more. We should do like yearly.
More than never.
Live. Yeah, more than never. We did it one time at, yeah. at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we have done some, but not in years.
Like that would be really, really fun.
Yeah.
And then we could have like an ask the audience part where they share a fun fact. Ah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential here, but we do have like a couple years to plan it.
Okay, good.
We're getting a little, we're putting the
yes,
cart before the horse.
Right,
horse
right,
before
fine,
the cart, whatever.
Good.
Anyhow, anywho, anyho, what's going on over there?
Oh.
Worst month of the year, is it
not? Really is.
January is balls.
I have been very successful in some ways in some of my, especially with my theme of the year, stretching, doing
stretching
fantastic.
Stretching up a storm.
Stretching up a storm.
Fantastic.
I bought one of those little neck roll thing. There's like, they're like these traction devices. That's yeah. what they call them. But, and you like lay on them with your neck and it's supposed to, you know, straighten it out and get rid of that tech neck hump. Cause I definitely don't want that.
No.
But also I've been
disgusting.
Going to a massage therapist on the regs who has put my neck muscles back in place. He was like, these are really twisted. And then spent the next 2 days or two sessions like getting them back. Whoa.
Feeling
night
good.
And day.
She's loosening up over there.
What? I'm like, wow, that's what range of motion feels like. I had no idea how much tension I was carrying in
wow.
my neck. So that is very good. Self-care, check. But also I've taken my meds every single day this
Whoa.
Year. What? All my meds, all my vitamins.
This is incredible.
Because I got this really cool, very fun dispenser where you
oh.
put all the meds in and then you press it goes on
well,
the wall and you press
fun.
The
it's
button.
Like a, it's like a casino over there.
It is like a casino. And I put it right next to my coffee. And so, you know, I'm having that every
wow.
day. I should link this. And you guys should definitely.
I mean,
this is
what a great invention.
I mean, I put an Amazon link up to the overalls and I've made a whopping 80 cents from you guys. So big money coming in from the four people who bought them. So maybe who knows, I'll make $1.20
yeah,
cents.
Things
off
are
of
looking
this.
Up.
Things are looking real
up.
Good. So those things crushing. But other things you know that stupid expression you see on Instagram that says like, when you make plans, God laughs or whatever. It feels like that. Like there's yeah. some, there's a embroidered
Something's
pillow
lurking.
That's laughing at me right now. It's like, remember when you want to do this and this and this and this? Psych, you don't get to do any of those things.
Hey,
and I hate that.
I mean, by just doing it stretching, you really did allow yourself a lot of potential because if you failed and all you had to do was stretch.
Right.
I would have been like, you know what, Sarah, you got big problems.
Big problems, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to report at long last, I have a theme.
Oh, good.
It has been quite a journey.
Yeah,
we're
so
arriving
we're expanding
at my
on,
theme.
On just the one hit wonder.
Oh, yeah. That's a goal.
Goal. Got it.
The theme, however, was I went through dozens
yeah.
of potential themes. And I almost landed, and my family is so sick of hearing about it. Like over the holidays, I was like talking about it nonstop, and they were like, shut up. Your theme should be silence.
No, we need to keep the show alive.
I almost landed on strength. Like, okay.
Oh, that's very good. That's a good one.
Can be literal, metaphorical.
Yeah.
But then I thought, I'm doing that anyway. Who am I kidding?
Right.
And these themes are really supposed to be like things I would not do.
Right.
It's supposed to be hard. And so I chose, wait, do I have a drum roll in here?
Oh, you got to.
I don't think we do. The theme of 2024 is wonder.
Oh, okay.
I am not good at wondering.
Yeah,
I do not like to sit around thinking about fucking night sky and all that.
This is true. I know this about you.
Yeah.
This is why you like documentaries and why you like not... fiction, book,
yeah.
nonfiction.
Yeah, not fiction. I do not like, you know, where you like go out in nature and like think about the vastness of the universe.
Yeah.
So I had to choose it because I don't want to do it.
I love this for you. I can help you with this. It's one of my specialties.
It actually is.
I spend most of my day in this.
Well, you'll be happy to know that you have already helped me because the first time that I wondered in 2024 was thanks to you.
Okay.
You gave Lincoln a microscope for Christmas.
Yeah, I did. Scientific microscope. So fun.
On New Year's Day, we're looking in that baby. And I was thinking, like, you know, you look in there and you're like, oh my God, we found a stink bug.
This is
a dead one.
This is all I ever wanted.
I know. You're trying to change me into you. One theme at a time.
This is so good. Okay, tell me everything.
We found a dead stink bug and we were like, first specimen.
Absolutely.
So we got it out, put it in there, and we were looking at it iridescent on its back. And I was like, oh, I was amazed. And I thought, I'm wondering.
So, I love this.
I knew you would.
Oh my gosh. There are so many. I'm good. I want photos. Isn't there something with it that you could attach it to the phone?
I think there is.
Yeah. I think there is something so you can put it on the phone
and then get an image. Yeah.
I'm going to need updates. I'm going to need to see what things look like.
A lot of potential.
I want to see a blade of grass, all the stuff.
I know. That's what I was like. We looked at
a piece of rice.
I'm just going to
send Lincoln random words. Like, said, like, okay, go find this.
And yeah.
Like, I want to see what that looks like.
Do you have his phone number? Because you could start texting him. That would be fun.
I don't know if he had a phone last time. Oh my God. This is so exciting for me.
Yeah. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you, really.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting, I like to think of myself as a very good gift giver.
Mm.
I think I am.
Well, it certainly was a hit.
Yeah.
We had so much fun with that thing.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. Good job.
Yes.
So
wonder.
That's my theme. I'll do my best as I always do.
I think what falls into this theme, which is also something that you and I have talked about doing, is going to the Sphere in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I would love that.
Yeah. I want to do that.
Yeah.
Because that feels like wondering and awe at the...
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. But I don't know what's gone wrong over there. They're losing money like you wouldn't believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they need to change the prices of the thing.
Oh.
Like, it's insane.
Make
it normal human prices.
It?
I looked at it. It was like what I imagine is, you know, at Disneyland they have that Soarin' Over California thing, where it's like you are in, like, basically it's like drone footage, but you're in like a little paragliding thing.
Okay.
It looks like, and it's like aerial footage of all these different places on like a big IMAX screen, so you feel like you're there,
right?
And
immersive.
I think that they have something like that that they're doing for all the times that concerts aren't going on.
Oh.
And that was like $350 a ticket.
That's ridiculous.
For nature?
You could go on an actual plane.
Come on here.
Yeah,
so,
we have some notes. Okay, got it.
Yeah. I'm like, I could go on a hike for free and see this at... Right over there.
Right.
So
come on now. They're still learning. We'll give them time.
So I'm thinking maybe if they drop down the prices and made it like reasonable. Look, I'm still going to spend $14 on popcorn or whatever you want me to spend.
I'll get merch.
I'll do it. But just like make it so I can at least get in. Ugh.
Okay.
Anyways.
Well, I'll put that on our list then. Our wonder list.
Yeah.
And the one hit wonder. You're so right.
Oh my God.
What
one
in the
hit,
heck?
One hit wonder?
It was right in front of my nose.
Oh my God.
Holy crow.
It was right under your nose. We didn't even realize that.
And that,
wow.
That is really fun. That confirms that I made the right choice.
That really does. One hit wonder in your year of wonder.
Oh my God.
So I got actual chills.
I'm mad that I didn't like act like I thought of this. At any rate, the one hit wonder is coming along. It is also a hilarious project.
This is fantastic.
We are having the time of our lives.
Oh,
and
so
by the way, the We Are the World component that you came up with where you get all the people who have one-hit wonders.
Oh, my God. That's right. I did say that. Dude, this is a genius idea.
This is genius. And because then this is hilarious because then they won't be one-hit wonders anymore because they'll have another hit. It's great. We are going to eradicate
time.
People that are one-hit wonders. There will be none left.
This is so good. I'm giddy.
I need to calm down.
Excited.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on. We have actual learning to be done here. Mm-hmm. Documentary, Netflix, Hell Camp. Did you watch it?
Oh, I started it. I think it was like, I want to say I started on like Christmas morning or something. And I was like,
yeah,
this ain't the vibe we're going for. Let's put on Kris Kringle or what a Kringle.
Yeah. Hell Camp is not festive.
It was whatever day it was on was like a day where I was like, the bad idea. But yeah. I definitely want to see it because I heard about the Paris Hilton
stuff. I remember when she came out with this and said that she had been sent away for basically reform.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a fancy boarding school. I didn't know that it was like a, outdoor nightmare.
Do you remember the time where this was really big on daytime talk shows where they would have, it would always be called something like
boot camp.
Yeah. Or scared straight. It's like that
scared
kind of
straight.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yes. And that they'd have like drill sergeant. Yelling
not
at
okay.
children.
We right. didn't we see like, what that was, which was all those kids needed help and support, and these were cries for help. Oh, okay. Anyways, haven't even seen the documentary.
No, that's
tell me
right.
about it.
That is the whole point of it, is that there was this wave of camps that sprung up that claimed to rehabilitate like delinquent children, these kids that their parents are like, I don't know what to do. They won't quit smoking doobies or whatever. Right. It's like not even actual delinquency. Right. And then of course it's abusive.
Mm-hmm. Of course
even
it
if
is.
You run it
you're
properly.
Giving the, and you're giving people, it's like the Stanford prison experiment.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the people running it, it's not like these were professionals.
Right.
These were just like jackass white guys that are like, hey, we can make a lot of money.
Yeah. And then kind of in the little clip that I saw, it sounded like the guy was getting off on being the drill sergeant type that got to yell and be like, sir,
yeah, do you
sir,
think
like,
that repeat, these people like, genuinely thought like, we're making a difference, we're going to help these kids? Or do you think that they didn't care and they felt like these kids had it coming because they're jerks or whatever.
Ooh, it could be a little bit of both. And I think it might have been I do what I know and how their parents maybe taught them. And mm-hmm. it's like, this is what I needed to be. They get that in their head.
Yes,
you know?
There are those people.
Yes.
Who are like, that's what turned them around is like.
Yes. And like, tough love. This isn't being physical. So they see it as harm reduction. Remember when we watched the Wrinkles the Clown? And we heard about the parents who were using fear as a way to control their kids, which is – and they saw it as harm reduction and better because their parents were physically abusive to them. And it was like, well, I'm doing this and nobody's getting hurt. And I feel like these kind of guys believe that same load of bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was good. I was glad I watched it because it was fascinating to see the people that had been sent to this camp and then what they said it was like and how it affected their lives. But the guy that ran it, he is just such a compelling character and his life ended up being real messed up. It's almost like, you know how you sort of are attracted to like maybe the thing that's your problem, you know, like his kid ended up being.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Right. What do you think? His kids are like perfect angels.
Right.
Even though. Yeah.
Well, please. Where was the father's attention going? What kind of children were getting his attention?
Mm-hmm.
If you are a child filling in the blanks the way kids do.
Yeah.
you see your father's attention going to kids who behave that way, somewhere subconsciously, you may pick up the message of, maybe if I behave like that, I'll get dad's attention because he's not with us on the weekends. He's with these kids. So maybe if I act like that, maybe he'll finally care about me.
Yeah. It makes total sense.
Come on.
Yeah. So it's bonkers. And there's still tons of these camps and there are huge moneymakers and like all these people. A lot of the parents are rich that send their kids because it's so expensive. Right. But then there's other people who like, it's the only thing that they can think of. And so they'll like sell their house to send their kid off to these hellscapes.
What about therapy? What about family therapy? What about, this feels like, well, I don't know what else to do. We just have to, no, there are some other options.
You're right. May I suggest starting with your pediatrician and other medical professionals? Like, I know. They had a lot of learning to do. And I'll tell you what's helping me learn.
Oh, so sad. Yeah, tell me.
In the new year and last year, and that is Babbel language learning.
Goodness. They reached out to me because I put up a little post about how when I was in Mexico and people and I would say un poquito español, and then people would speak más español, mucho español to me.
Right.
And they were like, we can help with this. And so I am going to learn some Spanish.
It's so great. It's about time.
I know.
And it's fun. And now they have these live classrooms where you can experience more
cool.
Yeah, like that kind of feeling where you're in school. And because some people learn good in that environment and other people learn best when
and it's
just
nice to be like going through something that's I don't know, like a new thing with other people who are doing it with you.
Yeah, it's a great time of year to start that, and I'm sure a lot of people are thinking about it. I always see it in the Pump Club. Arnold loves Babbel as well.
It's good for your brain.
It's so fun too. It's just like such a nice thing. You can do it on a casual basis. You don't have to be, you know, intensive or anything.
Yeah.
And they have a special deal for our listeners right now. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/braincandy. Get 55% off at babbel.com/braincandy, spelled BABBEL.com/braincandy. Rules and restrictions may apply. Okay. Moving on. Mm-hmm. Do you remember a while ago we talked about how it was sort of sweeping the internet, this idea that some people don't have the ability to create like mental pictures?
Oh, yes. I know this to be true. I've seen it in only one person.
They said they don't have pictures in their
head? Yes. I saw it in one client one time.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, do they feel ripped off, do you think?
No, they didn't even know. It didn't even
reality.
That I always think about that because Eli is deaf out of his left ear, right ear, left ear, right ear, right ear. And I always think about that, about what his experience, because when I've had like a clogged, you know, plugged up ear from a sinus infection before, and it changes everything and it feels like, oh my God, I can never get used to it. But he's never known any different. It's been forever. And it's like, oh no, this is like normal and not a thing.
Yeah.
So I think you don't fucking I didn't know I had a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, and you know how I get all annoyed whenever something sweeps TikTok where people are like, you do it this way. I do it this way. My mind is blown. Get over it. Everyone's different. Shut up.
Yeah. I did finally see the shower front to back thing and I was like, wow, who cares? And people really are like, oh, what? You do it the other way? Like, I spin around in circles the whole time. What are you going to do with that?
I get excited about dumb stuff too. We all do. But whenever it's somebody else's thing that they're excited, I'm like, shut up.
Shut up.
Okay. So then now people are talking about scientists, not TikTok people.
Okay. Okay.
Are talking about how some people don't have the, like a mind's ear. So they don't hear anything in there. You know, like how you're talking in your brain all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah, like to yourself. You'll just be like, no.
It's like nothing.
Go to the bathroom, whatever. Silence in there, these people.
I'm jealous of that.
I do. It does get noisy up here sometimes.
Ooh, it gets so noisy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so these people, they do not have a mind's ear. And so it's just real quiet in there. And the weird part for me, the article I read was great. And there were so many parts that were fascinating. But wouldn't you expect that, let's say you can't picture stuff in your brain.
Yeah.
You have no mind's eye. Wouldn't you think like they'd have a real like advanced mind's ear?
Nah, I feel like the two would go hand in hand, and you don't have one, you don't have the other.
Yeah, they're just like empty vessels, these people.
Yeah.
And so they were just talking about, I don't know, what it's like for them. And I just thought it was funny because there's also this thing called severely deficient autobiographical memory. And so these people, like, they'll know, like, if they went to Italy 5 years ago, but they won't really retrieve any firsthand accounts of like, what went on. And they can't engage in, like, the mental time travel that we all can do. If we're like, remember when we were in Italy and blah, blah, blah. And so this one lady that has this, the SDAM, she said that she always assumed that when people told like really in-depth stories about their past, they were just making up the details to entertain people.
That's so funny.
And like the article
in a way, I mean, what is a memory?
Like you think
just our interpretation of the incident. We could be making up half of it anyway. Wow, that. I have so many more questions. Like, what about a song stuck in their head?
No, they're not, that's not happening.
Wow, that radio is off.
Yeah.
And do you think it comes with a freedom or with, like, less of a root, like, grounded feeling of, like, identity and drive and purpose and that kind of stuff?
They didn't say, and they didn't act like it was consequential.
Because you know that when we read the book, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat, and it talked about when people don't have memory, when people can't,
Weren't those mostly traumatic brain injuries?
Yeah. Or, like, push back on, like, who am I? And it has, like, it's hard to.
Yeah, but that's the shift from one to the other. Like injury or disease.
Oh, if you've just, your brain's just developed to cope with that and you don't know. Oh.
Yeah.
My aunt has face blindness, I believe.
Yeah, that's what she said. I swear they're all making it up too.
Yeah, no,
they're not. But
it's really interesting, I think. And there, once you talk about this with people, it's like, oh yeah, and it would make sense that there's some, I don't know, just ways that the brain sorts things different for different people.
Yeah,
but just like, don't know any different.
I'll give you an example of they went into great detail about how they test for these things because you know how there's all this like talk about self-reporting, people claim it's unreliable, but in some ways it's crucial because data can't tell you stuff. So let's say I say I'm cold right now. And someone will be like, "What? It's 72 in the room. That's perfectly normal room temperature. And your body temperature is normal. So the data says I should be fine. But my self-report is like, I feel cold right now." So they're emphasizing that like self-reporting is important and we should rely on people when they say they don't have a voice up there. Okay. But they were telling one way that they can show data with it is that like, if you are able to picture things in your head and you imagine the sun, you have no light has been introduced to your retina. But it will constrict anyway because your brain is like simulating that. That does not happen for people who cannot picture things. Isn't that cool?
Whoa!
I know. So the body is telling, the data shows what they are also self-reporting. So you can like confirm it.
But you know, that self-reporting, that's a really interesting thing to wonder about.
Oh God, this is going to be a long year. Oh,
yeah, it sure is. You really did your
that's
self
wonderful.
In right there. Yes. I was watching a video on how you can trick the brain into thinking that it's seeing a person's arm with this like mirror.
I saw that.
And then they slam it with a hammer and the person will have a physiological response, but it's actually a rubber hand, but it's because their brain. And they use this to cure phantom limb.
Yeah.
And it's very helpful for that. So in that report, the data would show no arm is being hit.
Right.
But the self-report says, ow, that hurt, because they're having so fucking A. What? That's so.
It's so cool.
There's a lot of stuff there. I didn't even know what question to ask first. If it's like, what is real? What is, because that's very real for that. This is like the what is that book?
Is it, my book?
Quiet. You say- yeah. Your book. It was about the, they believe that they have something and it's like, yes. I do
Sleeping
have something.
Sleeping Beauties.
Sleeping Beauties.
Yeah.
Yeah. Silent, yes. Sleeping, blah, blah,
yeah, because that book talks about things that are known as commonly seen as psychosomatic. So like chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, these things that are symptoms without a disease that is associated, and how we just dismiss it because we're like, well, that's not cancer, you know, whatever. So then they're like, but I can't move.
Right.
So it is complicated, but there are some limitations because they were saying how in the 1950s, a lot of people, a majority of people reported that their dreams were black and white. And then later in the century, a majority said that their dreams were in color. And so there's two theories about it. Either these people were, you know, because of black and white television, their dreams actually were black and white. Like it influenced how people saw the pictures in their brain. Or that something like the existence of those images made them, just as they were awake, recall it as black and white, even if it wasn't. And there's really no way to know whether they were black and white or color.
I love that. This will keep me up at night thinking about the answer to this.
Like, right. And it's,
but we can't ever
fruitless.
Know.
Yeah.
It totally is.
Cause
but I definitely
before the black and white television, they were all color.
And I can remember a time period where a lot of people were asking that question.
What
do you dream in color? Did you, and it went either
probably
way.
Probably in like, yeah. Like the later in the century when
it was like the '90s.
Some people had both.
Right. And then then that question wasn't asked anymore. And I think it's just, if you were, there wouldn't even be, I wonder if kids now would even
be, like, it's like, almost like by mean? Asking it, you're priming people though too. Cause it's like, why the question makes, can influence your memory.
Oh, I want to know.
I know. Cause memories are so messed up.
And there are some times where I really, really remember my dreams and just have these periods of time where it's intense and very vivid.
I know.
And then, like, nothing.
After I had that Jerry Seinfeld prophecy about my
seat. That's right, about your seat.
I thought, I should pay attention to these babies.
Right. So write
some shit
down.
You know what I
mean? Yeah.
But
I did have a dream that they removed 81 lesions from my body when I had my surgery.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Now we can check. Wow. Is that seems like a lot.
It does seem like a lot.
What's the average? What's
her name? Bindi Irwin, who is famous for having the surgery. Not famous for this, but surgery.
You know her claim
she
to fame.
She had like 23 or 27 or something like that removed. And then Eli was telling me about a friend of his who had 70-something removed. So 80 is within.
What is the range?
I have no idea. No idea. And it's how many they could find. Like, it's what. I don't
You need to
know.
Google that. Like, the average.
What if there's like none. Well, that's what happened. I look at all those, and I end up deep in a hole of looking at surgery videos until 2 o'clock in the morning. It's bad. There's really a range. And now I know exactly what the fallopian tubes look like inside of you. They're much thicker than you think.
Ew.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't either. An ovary is smaller than you'd think.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, it's funny. I'll just say this then, because I just read this story about how it was in the New York Times, and it was about how massage therapists and yoga teachers have been taking cadaver dissection classes at like hospitals.
Yeah.
So that they can become more familiar with the actual ways that muscles sit and behave and look like whatever in the body so that they can do their jobs better. Okay, great. That sounds real nice, and it probably is very effective, but it's that old classic where these darn cadavers thought they were donating to science, and then it's just your weird yoga teacher paying for some class at the local hospital, like manhandling and cutting
open. I would be okay with that. I feel like yoga instructors would be more gentle and respectful of the body than some of those surgeons out there.
Okay, maybe respectful or tender or whatever, but
yeah, my massage therapist is very tender and very like,
I'm
good
sorry,
at diagnosing where I have lumps in my those muscles too.
And if I'm donating my rotting corpse to science, I am not doing that so some white yoga lady can namaste up in my biz.
Yeah.
Get out. Get your weird hands off of me.
How is that?
Leggings.
Is that like just like a class somebody can sign up for?
Sarah, this is the thing.
Because that.
Yes. The answer is yes.
That is seems like a slippery slope.
Well,
opening that up
cost a pretty penny.
Oh,
and
really?
That's why I'm like, those cadaver people don't get any money or their estates. They charge $1,200 to $4,500 per student.
What? That is a lot of money.
So, it's a whole lot of muscles. Right.
It costs less for me to get my actual yoga license.
I do appreciate their dedication to their craft and everything. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying.
I mean, this was not in level one core power yoga.
I mean, that better be the Maharishi whatever, because that is a lot of dough. Do you know how many students in your yoga class you'd have to make that money up?
But I kind of feel like massage therapist, I like am four. Because ever since I started going regularly, I feel the like medicine, like it feels like, man, if I didn't get this fixed, this would turn into like disease later in my body.
I hear you. And you're right. This is all legitimate. I'm just saying if I'm donating my body, I want to be able to
say. I don't want it going bad. Right. It should say no Lululemon.
Yoga. Right. No bar theory or whatever those things.
Yeah.
Because that's just not for me.
Yeah. I just don't want to be a ballistics like tester. I just don't want to be exploded.
Tell them what you mean.
So the majority of bodies that get donated to like quote unquote science are used for like testing and often used in military testing and like testing of explosive devices, things like ballistic weapons. So you're donating yourself to be a living test dummy.
Why would they need to do that? Why couldn't they use a crash test dummy instead of an actual human corpse?
I don't know, Susie. I don't know.
Silly.
I don't know any of the answers to anything. This is what we established.
Somebody is needing to explain it because that is not
I just want them to like be like, woo, look at that brain. That's it.
Like it'll look different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I want them to be like, look at those tits. But that is like my fear. I always grill in our Zooms with our brainiacs, the people who work in the medical field. And I'm like, what goes on in those surgery rooms when we're out like a light? Like, what are you people talking about? My butt? Yeah. What?
Right. What? What?
Something. Like, they are saying naughty stuff in there. I know it.
This is what I'm excited / nervous about, that in
Sarah,
approximately 2 weeks,
record it.
I should. They'll even just audible. That's a teaching hospital, I think. Audible. But there's going to be like 5 or 6 robot arms inside my body.
Why is it robot? Going to
be, because that's what it is. It's like a little, right. These little robot arms that go inside with cameras attached to them. And then they're basically doing exploratory looking around like, ooh, what's over here? What's over here? And then they like cut little pieces out of me and they're going all over the place. It's like.
The robot arms?
Yeah. They're looking at everything. Crazy. So I'm wondering, like, with it, you know, it's like the diaphragm, the colon, everything. Are they going to
video that?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. They better. I want to know.
Yeah, it'll be like Miss Russell's best. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like going, we're going to see from the inside out.
Okay. But also get that audio because I what if know. They were like, she is right. So hot.
Nobody's going to say that at 30. That would be really nice old, though. However, they're going to be like, she looks great.
They like, might.
Look at that. Yeah,
and then
maybe.
You'll come out of there feeling like $1 million and however many pounds lighter.
Yeah.
It's a dream.
For real. That I am excited about that. I have seen the before and after of where like I have
how
inflammation
many pounds
and
do you think?
They call it endobelly, which I totally have. Oh. I don't think it's pounds. I think it's just
mass.
Mass.
Yeah, like, right.
I could feel it. You could see it. I'm like, oh, there it is. There's my little like baby.
That'll be a relief probably.
Yeah.
I know, I'm not making light of the surgery. It's very serious.
No, we have to make light of it. It's the only thing to do. We have to.
We have to explain it to normal people.
Right. Yeah.
This is not right. But anywho, I do understand how if you did get to see inside a body like you might or inside a cadaver, it would probably be fascinating.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Michelangelo or Leonardo da Vinci. I get the two confused sometimes with them doing this. I think it was Michelangelo who would break into Leonardo.
I think it's da Vinci.
I think it was too because he was a little stranger.
Yeah, we know.
They both were.
Wasn't he the one that did this one?
Yes.
Like, the arm man. Spread.
Where he would break into a morgue, like into the morgue at night, and he would look at the corpses and the dissected bodies. And, you know? But Michelangelo's father told him that if he always wanted to be warm, he should keep his hat on and his socks on. So he never took his socks off. And when he died, they had to chisel them off of his body. They had fused with his skin.
Right. And these guys are
probably
like,
not super of sound mind either.
Yeah, right.
Could you imagine the smell?
Amazing.
Right. If your socks have fused to your feet, what your feet smell like?
Right.
Someone's not using Lumi deodorant.
Right. Right. At any rate.
Yeah.
The one yoga lady said, she used to say to her people, you know, push, have your belly button go towards your spine. You know how they always say that?
Yeah. Yeah. They do.
Now I don't. I say, make your stomach muscles like hug yourself because it's
better.
Like more.
Oh, that is better.
Around.
Yeah. I feel that. So say, I can see that.
See, we just benefited from her $1,200 class.
Yeah. That's different. It feels like it incorporates more of what I need to do.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that a lot, about trying to make that like.
Part I had the yoga. Stretching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because you can stretch all the time. So when I'm in the car, I'm trying to be not like loosey goosey anymore of being like aware of my body and posture and how I am. And so I pretend like, okay, muscles in my stomach, please support my spine. And we're going to tighten up and like, this is how you support your spine and then less low back pain.
For sure. That is so good. Mindful.
Yeah.
That's what Pema, you know, the monk that I went to school with, he would always say, the body's always in the moment. Body's always in the present.
It sure is.
Just get in touch with the old body.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm starting to think we should dissect a cadaver. I would be willing to pay for that.
I'd be into it.
Yeah, right.
Please. I was too into the frog dissection. I remember this. That
it didn't gross me out.
I really liked it. And I thought, This is
for us.
Yeah, I'm fine if it's dead. But living, I when I was tasked with giving my mother a shot, when she had, I cried. And she had to do, I was like, I can't do it. I can't. She's like, oh, for fuck's sake. And she did it. And then I started crying. I was like, oh, it's just too much.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Already
Eli told me to pull he got a splinter in the bottom of his foot. Nope.
Yeah.
After I dug around for like two seconds, I was like, oh, too deep. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So I can't do it if there's actual blood flowing. But if lights out, Let's
right. They're cut goners. Them
up. Let's see.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
It's just
on.
A skin suit at that point.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Want to hear how Subarus became the official car of lesbians?
Yes, I do. And it's funny that I knew how you were going to finish that sentence as soon as you said, do you want to hear how Subarus? And I was like, what became the official car of lesbians? Go ahead.
I was toying with saying like something to the effect of, if a Subaru was a person, it would be a... And everyone
lesbian.
Would finish it. Yes.
Obviously. Today, note, I should have... I should have taken a picture of this. On my way to the studio today, I was behind a Subaru that had one of those, like, American flags with the blue light. I was like, this is wrong. This doesn't go together.
That's shocking.
It was not a lesbian driving. And I was like, are you even allowed to buy that car?
Yeah, it'd be like a Ford F-150 with, like... coexist bumper.
Yes, stickers. That is it. It's a lifted Raptor with coexist stickers. You're like, what the fuck is this doing here?
Yeah, you're supposed to have these nuts hanging.
Yes, that was like these nuts on the Subaru. I'm like, I cannot comprehend. I cannot compute. This does
that
not make
funny
sense.
How cars become an extension of identity, and right. You know, we all know certain people drive certain kind of cars. It's just a fact,
right?
Well, in Subaru's case, it was a no accident. The
How?
Subaru people were in a real pickle because their cars are not attractive. I think we can all agree. They're not known for being stylish.
No, they seem like sturdy.
Yeah.
Which is how I've often described myself. So I get it.
They're
and
sturdy,
also,
they're
often
reliable.
Confused for a lesbian over here. So... Or
right.
Mistaken
they're,
for a lesbian.
They're practical.
Yeah.
They're sturdy. They're reliable. Yeah. But they're not souped up. They're not trying to be flashy.
No.
And so like they had to make a choice because they tried to make like a new Subaru that was like cool and whatever. And everyone was like, nice try. And
yeah.
So like,
WRX.
I don't know what it was.
I bet it was because I dated my first boyfriend had this and it was a souped up Subaru that
oh,
was
God.
Like, nah, 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 and he like oh, that one of those like with the gold rims on it. And
well,
it was,
didn't go
it
for
was,
it.
No, it was a very specific type. And then it went right back to lesbians. Like it was. So,
well, they did market research and they found four groups that made up half of all Subaru users, teachers, healthcare professionals,
Every lesbian I know fits into one of those two categories.
Outdoorsy types.
Oh my, come on.
Wait, what was the fourth one? Oh, I can't find it. There was another group. And then the fifth one was lesbians.
Okay, but also the other four could have also been that too.
Yes, right.
I'm like, please.
Yes. So, IT. That was IT professionals. Okay.
Practical.
So
I get it.
They were like, let's do an ad campaign basically just with...
For outdoorsy
lesbians.
Healthcare professionals who happen to like women.
Yes.
And are women.
Okay. So, first, Subaru received letters from... a grassroots group, as you can imagine, that accused the car maker of promoting homosexuality.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Which, you know, maybe they kind of were. But they were like, it didn't matter because everyone.
I think Subaru does not promote homosexuality as much as homosexuals promote Subaru.
That is so true.
Lesbians promote Subaru like, way more.
It's symbiotic.
Yeah.
But the marketing team discovered that none of the people threatening a boycott had ever bought a Subaru.
Oh, who cares?
And some of them even misspelled it. And so
that tracks.
So they were just like, who cares? These people weren't going to buy a Subaru anyway.
Right. Yeah.
And so then in the ads, they hired women to portray the lesbians. But the,
it's just a funny sentence.
But the ads at first didn't get, the lesbians didn't like it.
Okay.
It was just not cutting the mustard. Okay. And they were not happy until Subaru started putting in like all kinds of Easter eggs where like the license plate said like Xena lover.
Oh, like warrior princess?
Yeah. They love her. They love Xena. And P-Town. What was a license plate?
Oh, yeah.
And
that's a very, yes.
It's like
Providence
a popular.
Town? Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, Rhode Island.
Massachusetts. That's where they all flock during the summer months.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had like taglines with double meanings. So they had a tagline that said, get out and stay out.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, if you're straight, you just thought they wanted you to go out
outdoorsy,
go for a walk. But all the gays were like, we see what you're doing.
They had
another tagline that said, it's not a choice, it's the way we're built. And they found
this
that
they're making me want a Subaru real
I
bad.
I know, right? Mission accomplished. They said that they found that playful coding is really appreciated by the consumer. They like deciphering it, and that the straight audience didn't notice.
They
would look at like the bike
like,
rack or whatever,
right?
And the gay people were like into it.
Yeah.
There you go.
And don't you think that like you know just to. Maybe for members of that population for a long time, they had to read between the lines and pick up like, what are the people saying without saying it? Oh, it's like how they got every date, I think. So,
do you remember there was a period of time when obviously Rosie O'Donnell and Ellen were like, it's not like anyone thought they were
super
into penises.
Right.
But they couldn't say it.
Yes.
And there was a time, I think it was Ellen was on Rosie and they were both saying that they were Lebanese.
Yeah.
And like there was all these sort of coded conversations that were like wink, wink. And I just think that's so weird because of course now, even then I thought it was weird. It was like, we know you're gay.
Yeah.
But saying it was risky.
And isn't that funny that the people who would really get upset don't even recognize what you're saying until it's so overt and in your face? It's just like, what? Two women kissing? Like,
seriously, they said that in one of the focus groups, they were talking about gay people the whole time. And like,
oh my God.
People and then they'd show the ad and they think it was like a guy going with his uncle to buy a car.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't get that these are a gay couple in the ad. Mm-hmm. Like they can't. But it's weird because in some ways I feel like they see gay people, like they think everything's gay.
Yeah, but it's the things that you don't think. It's like, what? Sharing your feelings? That's gay. But like,
but
not
see, gay
things
guys.
That are like somebody massaging a cucumber suggestively.
Well, I love it. I mean, here's the thing, though. This was a 2016 Atlantic article. It was from the old archives. But in the article, it was giving all the credit to this ad campaign saying like Subaru intentionally
did
this.
Do you know who the was it Shiat Day? Who was the advertising group?
They didn't
say. That feels like one they would do. They did all of Apple's at that time.
Maybe they did, but I didn't. I don't recall. But like they were doing the campaign because that was already their client base. So they're sort of attributing it to the campaign, but really the campaign was just a response to who was already buying it. So I guess it just cemented it. This relationship lesbians have with Subarus.
And it's, have you been in one? Have you like,
I can't say that I have.
Okay. So I went and test drove
with
someone
fancy one.
And not that one, but like recently within the last year I've test driven a Subaru.
How was it?
Fucking amazing.
Subaru would like to sponsor this. We
really good at handling the road. And I was like, I remember getting in the car and like the guy was like, yeah, really, you know, really like let her rip. And I was not driving, but I was the passenger in the back seat. And I was like, is this what a car is supposed to feel like? This does not feel like my car. My Jeep is not doing this on the road and cannot do this. And if that car feels good and four wheel drive and like,
what were you referring to? Like the turning radius or
the 0 to 60, the way it, like it feels like it grips the turns. Like when you go around turns,
well, they feel, are all wheel drive.
You're not like, oh, like you feel like on the road. I don't know how to describe it. Like sturdy. Like I feel safe. It feels sturdy. Feels
feels reliable.
Reliable. And sturdy, all the things.
Practical.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe you're next.
I know. I have been considering it. I have been. I am looking at one of those. That is the next move.
I mean, I would like the people at Subaru,
which is basically like a grown up, a older Subaru.
That's true. Yes, that is. It's sensible.
So yeah.
I don't know why we don't have a car sponsor, but it feels like the right year
for time. I will do. I will take all the outdoorsy photos. You want drone shots? I will fucking hello. I got you. Let's take the shit off road. Let's do this.
It just seems obvious.
I identify as queer.
You sure do.
There you go.
Even though I'm like, you're not.
I'm like, yeah, but
it's like the opposite of the 90s where people didn't want to come out. I'm like, get back in that closet, girl.
Yeah.
You're straight.
You've been with men for too long.
Well, we love you, Subaru, for so many reasons.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Okay. What else do I want to talk to you about? How about do animals do drugs?
Yes, absolutely, without a doubt.
Not only do they do drugs, but the answer is every chance they get.
Every chance. I heard this about deer, that deer are really
so funny. They're wild. They're partiers.
Yeah. That they find like animals. That certain shrub or whatever that'll do, and they cannot stop. They're just like, give me more of that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, well, what are they
how
into?
Do they keep their girlish figures then? Because I've never seen a fat one.
Well, doing drugs, what do you think? They all get the munchies?
You said tree.
Well, yeah, they're like eating a little shrub of
are
like.
Are those calorie free?
I don't know. I would imagine they're like working it off, running around all high as fuck. And they're not like getting the munchies dancing. And sitting in front of a deer refrigerator.
Right. Well, they're not alone, deers. They are in good company.
Yeah, animals, what gets you high out in nature out there?
Evidently a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, toads, you know how like there's some that you can like lick their butthole or something?
I love that you went to butthole. I think it's just the back. They're just any secretion from these toads. But you do not have to lick a toad's butthole. Could you imagine? It's so tiny.
The truth is, the reason why I said butthole is because rumor has it that Puck from Real World San Francisco on one of the shows once asked somebody if they would want to lick a toad's asshole with
him. Yeah, that's,
and
that makes
like
sense.
It rings in my head.
Yes.
I don't know what part you lick. I just know they get animals high.
Yeah.
But it's
and
weird.
I think a lot of plants and certain maybe even bugs or things, creatures that other animals eat, because of the brain structure or the ways that things are digested by that specific animal, like they have digested, they like can't digest certain things or do or whatever it is, that things that may not make us feel.
Yeah. Here's high. Some of the things that they're doing.
Pine needles.
Bees get stoned on orchid nectar.
Okay.
Goats like magic mushrooms. Birds.
Who doesn't?
Marijuana seeds.
Oh, okay.
Rats on opium, and also mice, lizards, flies, spiders, and cockroaches like opium. Elephants will drink anything they can get their trunk on, like fermented fruit or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it says they're known to raid breweries in India. Of course, cats love catnip.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. What is that?
It's a huge list, but here's what I found really fascinating. So, you know how there are certain things that are just innate, like humans know they need it and they will always take it. Sex, food, water, whatever. Drugs are not on that primary list.
Right.
But once we have them.
Right. Once they're introduced.
We will seek them out constantly.
Yeah. It's that dopaminergic pathway that gets overrun by that. And it feels the same as starving and then having stuff to eat.
And it's true for animals too.
Yeah.
Once it's introduced.
Wow. Okay.
It's like that latent need.
Yeah.
It becomes a primary need.
I have heard this from Robert Sapolsky in his book on and his studies of the ape, or like I think it's bonobo, or I can't remember what monkey is, the primate groups that he follows with fast food, with processed food.
No.
That they, once they get exposed and they have processed
foods. It's delicious.
It's like they can't, those that sodium, that
they prefer it.
Everything, they will go to that because
It's
like a drug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And it was referencing, I forget who first said it, but it was pointing out how even children will spin to change their consciousness.
Yes.
Yeah. It could, and then like once they do it, it's like, this is fun.
Yep. That is the evidence that we are all seeking. I remember in an alcohol and drug study class that I had way back when, that was, I remember my professor saying that we are all naturally in a way searching for that higher to change. It's a desire to alter our mental state.
Yeah. It says that intoxication can never be repressed once it's introduced. And so they were exploring how it seems counterintuitive because intoxication increases the likelihood of death, that you have trouble fighting off predators when you're high on your, opium or whatever. But the reason that it still becomes that need is because they have a name for it. It's a new kind of thinking that you can do, as we've all experienced if you've drank or done any drugs, where you start to think of old things in a new way. Like when you're,
it separates
one time,
the ego, that self from, it gives like distance in a way that maybe at a certain point can be helpful and not. But what were you saying?
Yeah,
let's
say you do an edible and then you're watching a show you've watched a million times. It's a totally different show.
Right. It's the drug of novelty.
Novelty. Yeah. And you know, like hallucinogens or, create a sense of connectivity with humanity, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And that the relief from existential dread, the feeling of like, why are we here? This is scary. You know, ever have one of those things like when you're awake in bed, like eternity or whatever, you get into one of those spirals that like drugs can provide relief from that. And that is part of why we are
take an edible to go to bed.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah.
You just want to be like.
It can backfire sometimes.
Raw dog life? Are you crazy?
What is that? Oh, raw dog. Right. Yeah, I totally get it. But I guess I wasn't. I knew that some animals did these things, but I didn't think it was universal.
Yeah. They all want to like be like, nah, this ain't it.
Right. That really does make me think like, this is all messed up. Us being here, this whole thing. Yeah. Like, we're so desperate. Yeah. To get out of here. But yeah, we're so afraid to get out of here.
Yeah.
It's a real conundrum.
We're like trapped here. So we're like, how can we be, you know, like what happened? Even like when you're talking about dreams, I was wondering maybe as the brain evolves and we know more, we use more, we have an expanded mind to different concepts and ideas that increased activation or stimulation enhances, I don't know, some subconscious Who I don't fucking
well,
know.
Well, it better be something, because I'm mad about it. Like, I'm mad that we have all this time. We sleep a lot right. of our lives.
Yeah.
And we know nothing about it. They make crap right. up. They're like, it's when right. your brain files the way.
Like, what if we learned it like, up. Oh, yeah, if you do the right things or, like, somehow train your brain while you're sleeping, you can, like, develop, like.
We got to do that.
I don't know. Psychic abilities. ESPN. I don't know.
I'm telling you. We're like, we can't rest. We have to be productive even when we're sleeping.
Yeah, this may be I should talk to my therapist about that probably.
But it does feel like, what is happening? That's a lot of time to be just sitting there. Yeah,
something's going on, something important. And if we are seeking drugs that often imitate or replicate the experience when we're dreaming.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Feels like, what's happening in that in between?
Right, Sarah. That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
I'm mad about it.
Yeah.
Let's wind it down. I'm mostly excited about Sarah's new meds dispenser.
Oh, wait till you see the video.
How big is it?
It's like a clock.
That's really
it's
cute. Like, it's perfect size.
You're going to love it. And you could put it on the desk too. And it has like a little...
Load it up.
Yep. Wait till you see it. I'm excited. I'll send you the video. You're going to be like, what?
So. I mean, do you think this is a new invention or I've just been in the dark?
New invention.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. What took them so long?
I know. It's genius. Way too long. You're going to love it.
I'll be wondering from here till the end of the year. I'll let you know how it goes. I think it'll be fun and I'll enjoy it, but it will be pretty... I'll have to put in an effort because I do not want to do that.
Yeah, well, a little bit. I heard that when you do something that you don't want to do, certain areas and structures in your brain benefit and grow from that. So,
where did you hear that? Because Adam just said that yesterday.
It's this annoying guy on that I like resist.
This annoying guy.
He's a podcaster that's like. Says things with this like a tone of it's certain and I know this for a fact and I always have to be like, let me double check that.
Yeah,
but it's Lincoln... like, you know, just another one of those male podcasters that roll our eyes at. Right. But every now and then
he was trying to use it for Lincoln to be like, yeah, okay, I know you don't want to do that, but good news, if you do something you don't want to do, your brain grows. And Lincoln goes, literally?
Yeah, literally.
Adam goes, well, like develops.
Yeah. And it's larger in like athletes and people who have experienced it, like believe they've overcome a lot. And I wonder, is mine huge or small?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder that. This guy's making it up.
Yeah. Who knows? But I heard
at least we admit it when we don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. All the time.
Anyway, some people don't have a mind's ear or a mind's eye. And
if you don't have one of these, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. But not too much, because you guys can go on and on about, oh, you're so special and unique.
They don't have a mind's ear. They probably don't. They're just like, yeah, that's me too. The end.
Then black and white dreams versus color dreams.
Fascinating.
Or is it just you're not very good at, recalling?
We should do a poll about that.
Okay.
I'd like to know what people think.
And if you're getting yoga classes, check with your instructor and see if they're doing their homework. Chopping up bodies.
Yeah. I want to know. And then, like, do they put that on their...
Right.
This
cadaver
class
certified.
Is taught by... Yeah, cadaver certified.
And Subarus for lesbians. Three cheers for that.
That's right.
And animals doing drugs. Good work, everyone.
Love it. We'll see you next time.
We'll see ya. Bye.